showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And we're talking, we've been talking a lot about just really taking control of your life. That's kind of like my new, it helps me. It really helps me kind of stay in line and know that I'm responsible for what I'm doing. And if you're in that energy with me right now, I'm so glad that you're here. We've got Sharon Savidson on my show, and she's co-hosting with me. I'm so glad you're here.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. And Tom Spence on our board. And our phone number here is 419-0008. That's 419-0008. And our next guest is Dr. Young. And Dr., his book is You Can Rejoin Joy. And Dr. Gerald Young is a psychologist and says the nature of romance requires reflection to help keep the love flowing throughout a relationship's entirety. And he also says that the key to a strong relationship is be faithful from bed to head. And that's kind of an interesting, that really, I thought, ooh, I want to talk to him. I like that. So anyways, let's bring our next guest on, Dr. Gerald Young. Gerald, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what your thoughts are on strong relationships. So we've got Valentine's Day around the corner. And, not only that, it's kind of, you know, we were talking about I'm almost empty nesting. Things are, you know, it's all of a sudden my husband and I, we've been going, let's go on a date night. We haven't done that in 27 years, right? Mm-hmm. But not only that, is just looking at ways to keep relationships strong. I think it's important to be invested in your relationship.
Oh, you said it pretty well. Myself, I'm a professor of psychology at Glendon College, York University. And I also write some research books, but I've also written based on my private practice, a series of self-help books on rejoining joy, and they can be found at rejoiningjoy.com. And this most recent one you referred to, You Can Rejoin Joy, is also at iUniverse, and all the books are on Amazon, etc. And one of the blogs in this last book is on making Valentine's Day last, and some of the headings that you mentioned are in there. And it boils down to, I think, communicating effectively and both verbally and nonverbally with your partner. And that includes especially honesty about self and about intimacy and, of course, not cheating. So it boils down to being faithful, not only in bed, that is avoiding cheating, but also in head, that is being open and honest and communicating so that everything is on the table. And when that happens, when we have a full relationship with our partner, then, of course, we're going to do things like keep dating, going out, making every time we go out something special. And you know what? Every day is special in that circumstance because you wake up with a smile on your face and you look at your partner and you get on with it. I'm jumping around a bit trying to cover all the topics you've mentioned, but you mentioned empty nest, and I presume that refers to when the children get older and
start to leave the home, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, and they're all at university now, college or whatever, or working. And that is also another point of renewal. So if we're working at in our relationship on a daily basis, and of course we're going to be very busy going to work during the week for most of us, and we still can think of our partner when we get home and the like, and date on the weekend, etc. And then that might come into more full bloom as the children move out of the home. We are getting older, but we're also getting wiser. And the more we struggle through each day as our children grow and help them grow to maturity as well, then when we do have some time, more time to ourselves finally, when the children move out and I'm in the same situation, then it's easier to have more time with your partner, plan activities effectively, and communicate, as I say, verbally and non-verbally, and that includes intimacy as well.
It's Sharon.
Hi. we were like ready.
You know, and I think it's important to kind of, you know, I believe date night's important. I believe that we should keep that spark alive all the time. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you always want to be thinking of your partner and thinking about what you can do for them. But just do that special weekend or do that special night.
But here's what I'm concerned with, and yes. Dr. Young, you said you're kind of at the same spot, is a lot of my friends, we have paid so much attention mm-hmm. to our children, and we don't okay. even know who we are anymore as a couple, as an individual, and all of a sudden, now you have this empty house, and you're looking at each other, and you have to rekindle. I want to warn couples, young couples, to not do that. Your kids are going to grow up. My mom used to tell me this. My parents used to say this all the time. Your kids are going to grow up and it's just going to be you and your husband.
That's why you have to have the date night.
Right. But not right. only that, I mean, you can't only have one date night.
No, once a week.
No, but you have to have like an intimate time to talk. You have to have that your best friend.
When you do the date night, don't you agree, Dr. Young, that when you do the date night and you keep that going, that filters into the other things?
Right.
Into the other areas.
It's the big pictures, and it's not mm-hmm. as if, well, the children got in the way. Now, the research shows that marital satisfaction goes down once the children come, but it also increases on average, once that empty nest syndrome starts. That is, we have less stress, and sure, they're part of the big picture of our lives, and part of what we can talk about is looking back and how much we did for them and how we brought them to their classes and helped them with their homework and help them apply to wherever they're going and get their jobs, et cetera, as best we can. Some people are too busy to do that. I understand that. But, you know, they were an essential part of our lives, and that's our story. It's the narratives we tell to each other that are important, too. And part of that narrative is that we are a growing people. We helped our children grow, and we've helped each other grow through all these years, and now we can do that even more. So it's not as if the children got in the way. They're part of the growing that we all do as a family, as a couple.
I love that. And, you know, I don't mean because I love my children, but what I realized is we invested so much and we forgot to, you know, invest in our future of who we were, you know. And I think a lot of people, I see that. And you know, I mean, my husband and I, we're rekindling it. It's so fun and it's exciting. But there are people that I know that's when they get divorces. They haven't invested in that part. And I love how you put that's our story. You know, I think that people, what is your story? You know, and so I think it's important. Now, what is the most problem? You are a psychologist. Do you see clients?
Yes, I do.
So what is the, and obviously you deal with relationship marriages and stuff like that, right?
Yes, for sure.
What is the biggest pro and con in a relationship?
Well, when stress gets in the way, and you use the word right at the beginning, control, and we don't have a sense of control because things are going in different directions. So, for example, getting back to the empty nest, if we have a plan, and our plan includes that weekly going out, sometimes we're struggling to rekindle. I love that word you're using. But we don't know how. But once we learn and we apply it, we can regain a sense of control. We can reduce the stress. We can increase the communication. And it requires a commitment on a daily basis. So for the weekend, if you have to plan ahead to organize something, make it a bit of a surprise or whatever, get back into that dating or just having fun mentality or even relaxing mentality, because life is so hectic. Any way you do it to an hour, two or three each day on the weekend might help get back that rekindling, as you call it, a great word.
Thank you.
The title of my next book.
Wait a minute, I'm using that. No, you're right. But you
we'll
know,
do it together.
There you go. See, that's it exactly. But you know what? I think that the biggest thing that helped me is I started to take control of my life. And I said this on one of my other, you know, guests that were just here is, I'm one of those people. I'm high energy. I always helped in all the school and the PTA and, you know, four kids, always had a full house. And all of a sudden I realized that I was going in every open door that opened. I mean, Sharon, you've been helping with that.
Right. And I also think, though, if you, there are two ways to look at it. You can look at it, oh, my goodness, look at me. I don't know who I am. Or you can look at it, I just turned 50 and I think my life has just started.
Oh, no question.
Because now that my children are starting to become independent, one's about to leave, I'm finding I have more time to really, you know, sink my teeth a little bit more into my business. And it's exciting.
It is exciting.
So that's what's right. The next chapter of your life going to be? It's you know, how can you make this next chapter exciting?
That's right. And that includes your partner as well.
Right.
You talked about you and your business and how you are going to grow in this new situation. So you have a plan, and also you're activating that plan, and that's what counts. But getting a sense of control is navigating well your life goals and your life value so that it includes yourself and your partner growing together.
Right.
And that's what relationships ultimately are about.
So let's address that. So what if your husband or your wife, on whichever end, and for my listeners out there, is you've kind of got your life together because maybe, you know, things are kind of falling in for you and right. Your partner's not in touch with his or hers.
That's a very good point. So you could be a good source of support. And also, you can be, not only that, you can value whatever the person's doing and value their plan. At our age, it might be even beneficial to take extra courses to learn a new skill that we can apply to our work, our business, or whatever. We can take courses in creativity and leisure, whatever it might be, to grow our personal self as well. So you're encouraging the other person to acquire work-related and personal-related skills, and that also comes from communicating with other people and seeing what they're doing. And so you're enlarging the circle of your life. And that includes having the partner, encouraging the partner to enlarge the circle, no matter where they are in their own professional or business life and the so-called scales they might be on that way.
And very true. And I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Sharon. And we're talking with Dr. Gerald Young. He is a psychologist and also an author of, I'm getting it right here. What is your book again? You Can Rejoin Your Joy. And, you know, we're talking about relationships. And not only that, but you have several books, right?
Yeah, in that series, they deal with relationships, emotions, stress, daily living, raising children, as well as relationships. So it covers a broad spectrum, aside from all my research books.
Yeah, I love it. But, you know, the big thing that I find is men and women are so different. And
well, I didn't know that.
Really? But, you know, my husband will look at me sometimes like, really, honey? And it doesn't faze him. Or I'll look at him and go, really? You got upset about that? Well, how do, you know, I love how you put here that we're from different planets, but we end up on Earth together. And I love that. So
right.
How, I mean, that's something that you really need to negotiate in your relationship of going, okay, I get we got a compromise here, you know. I get we were having a, you know. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, on the one hand, like men are more instrumental or task-oriented in general, and it's only an average, and women are more emotional or expressive. That's the traditional way of describing it. But you know what? We all have our masculine and our feminine sides, and the research shows that as we get older and then we get into the age we're talking about now, the empty nest phase, that by then our masculine and feminine parts are coming together. So, you know, we might be born on different planets, Mars and Venus, whatever, and we do have to meet on Earth as a couple, but it's also inside of us, our Mars part and our Venus part, so to speak, our masculine and feminine parts, they're going together into a more unified, expressive, task-oriented, and emotional and affective integration. And therefore it becomes easier when we encourage that in the other person, when we encourage that in ourselves, the couple can grow together because we'll be exploring different parts of ourselves that we're not used to because we're so taken by our masculine and or feminine image. And as we grow into the other side, I think we become more complete people. And as we do that and share that with our partners become a more complete couple.
So what reminds me, I mean, what came to my mind is how women go through menopause, right? And men go through menopause. So, I mean, there you go. It's the perfect match all over again, because my husband's like, oh, my God, I'm so you now. What happened to me?
That's funny. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so you. This is so stupid. Why are you, you know? And so it's interesting how what you just said is a big full circle.
And I think, you know, communication is so important. Communication, and I always say, ask for what you need. So really talking about it versus thinking that the other person's going to just read your mind.
That's right. And that implies listening carefully to what the other person has to say and validating it. Make sure you understand it. Did you mean to say this or did you mean to say that? And when we do that, it starts off good negotiation and compromise and discussion when there's a divergent opinions, or maybe we end up realizing we're wrong and the other person is right and we change, or vice versa. So through effective communication and understanding the needs and goals of the other person, communication improves.
So what is the biggest problem that you see?
In the couples, a lot of it is the conflict and they don't know how to communicate. And what I like to suggest is to people, they use the word maybe. Now, what does that mean? Like, maybe we should go on a date this weekend.
Mm.
Or maybe we should, you know, clean the dishes before we do this. And when we give options to people and suggestions, instead of giving orders, like, we better do this before we go or else we're going to have a lot of stress, then it opens them to the possibility that they're going to say, okay, yeah, I like that idea, because it's a suggestion and not an imposition. So maybe we can start using the word maybe more, because maybe that will help in our communication. Maybe that makes sense to you?
Say, what would you use instead?
Instead of giving an order, we would say maybe, because you'll probably, I can't say probably, but
right.
It could be more likely that you're going to get an agreement for your suggestion than giving an order.
Well, what I realized is my husband and I, we started kind of almost joking about it. I kind of feel a conflict coming on here, because he would try to please me and I would try to please him. And he thinks that what he's doing is what I wanted. And really, I think what I'm doing is what he wants, and we're really not doing what we really want. So now I say, I feel a conflict coming on. Are you doing this for me or is this for you? And he's like, well, I thought you wanted that. I'm like, no, I don't even care about that. And it's interesting. It's really helped us a lot. So,
okay, well, what it tells me is that this couple is really trying to please the other person. And so sometimes it goes awry, but I bet most of the time, in terms of the way you're doing it, it works out well.
Well, it's a new habit here. So,
right, and it could be that masculine and feminine side coming together in both of you and not understanding the other person more.
I love it. I love it. So, if you could leave us with a couple tips, what would you say? And now, you know, we didn't really even get off on, you know, of couples thinking that the grass is greener on the other side.
Right. I would say it gets back to knowing how to control your emotions on the moment when they get angry or you feel like getting out of control and saying the wrong word. And I always recommend to people try using breathing exercises to calm down. It slows down the body. It slows down the mind. And the way I teach it is the simplest way possible, and that is just concentrate on the air from the nostrils to the bottom of the lung as it goes in and out. And with your mouth closed, and it gives you an extra fraction of a second to think, right, before you talk, if there's an emergent dispute that's developing on the one hand. And if you're by yourself, it relaxes your mind when the mind's racing. And as the stress comes back in your mind or the negative thought, get back to the rhythm of your breathing, 100% focus on the breathing. So as you breathe in, the oxygen flows, and as you breathe out, the stress goes over and over. And just listen to your breath and then kick in an image or listen to a song, a visualization of the beach or something like that. And you're getting into a meditative experience because you do that after several minutes. And then you finish with a positive suggestion that this is really helping. It's giving me control in the moment. So there's moment-to-moment things we can do to try to level the stress playing field. And then the big picture is always important to see. What is that narrative? What is that life goal I want? How can I work with my partner in developing that? How can I improve my communication with my partner so we're working together? So from a moment to moment and a larger life picture, when we have control at both those levels, and it's easier to cooperate with our partner at both those levels.
Wow. Okay. So those are really some helpful tips. And, you know, I just think that if we could just take things not so serious, you know, we're all so stressed out. We're all, and I think that that's really what starts to happen when your kids start to leave. We're like, it's a little easier.
Well, I think it's also prioritizing. It's like saying, you know what, is this really important to me, or is it just something that I'm fighting about, which really doesn't make that huge a difference? We're so used to fighting and wanting our own way and, you know, trying to control in that sense of. So it's like, you know, decide which basket does it go into, the non-negotiable, I don't care, or the one that's a maybe in the middle.
Very good. Instead of it me, it should be we,
right.
We.
Right.
And it's we control instead of me control.
Right.
And so those are very good points. And sometimes just letting go what we think is really important and working for the common good really helps. When you shift gears you know, we're getting older and wiser at this age, it's easier to shift gears perhaps and saying, okay, that's not worth it, just like you said. And you know what? When we have genuine communication going, and when we leave our original positions and we learn from the other person and we come up with even better plans and even better ideas than we had before, that's what communication's about. It's not simply learning about what the other person has to say and compromising their lot or not. It's developing even a better plan or a better idea or a better understanding of life or the issues or even of the other person through communication. Communication brings learning, and the more we learn, the more we grow. And the more we grow, life becomes easier.
And understanding where you're coming from. So like if you felt that you were controlled when you were a child, and now subconsciously, you know, you keep showing up feeling like you have to stick up for yourself defend yourself in every single situation. And it's not necessarily about the situation that's in front of you rather than your button that's being pushed from before.
That's excellent. One way I deal with that, now we're getting into
behavioral we're going to have you on for a couple of days, so just, you know.
That's okay. But one way I deal with that, I ask people, are you fixed and faxed, or are you flexible and free?
Right.
Oh, I like
so
that.
You had this kind of abuse or that kind of experience or whatever. Are you going to do the same thing to your children, or did you do the same thing to your children, or did you visit that upon your husband or your partner, whatever it might be? No, you didn't. It wasn't 100% copying of what the past did for you. You stepped back, you reflected, you learned, you became a better person, even a little bit. Or you wanted to do that, and it might be hard for you to do, but at least you have the motivation to do that. And that's why we're here, for you to not be fixed in facts, but flexible and free and move forward and become your own person rather than what happened to you when you were younger.
But, you know, it's interesting. Something happened this morning. My daughter burnt the skin underneath her eyes. She was playing soccer yesterday. And the first thing she said to me, it's sore, it hurts, it's whatever. And I looked at her and I went, Jamie, that's really bad. Now, the same thing happened to me when I was young and my mother went crazy. And all
and
I
so
could hear in my head was, and as I was saying it, she was upset with me because she said, oh, that's really helpful to tell me that it's really bad. But I was hearing my mother, and I was so aware of the situation of that before I even thought about it, it was out of my mouth. You know, hearing my mother's voice going, you're lucky the skin grew back, and I thought that you were going to be deformed. And
right. You know, and I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Dr. Gerald Young, a psychologist, and his book is You Can Rejoin Joy. We're talking about taking control of your life. We're talking about our relationship. We're talking about, you know, when I really believe like one family comes from one, you know, way of life, and another family comes from another, and a husband and wife, and they bring that in. And so you have to start being aware of who and what you're bringing, correct?
That's right. And you raise a good point, because it's not only you and your partner, there's also your parents and his parents.
100%.
And as we know, the in-laws sometimes can create difficulties and
really
and how to raise children, and there's all sorts of disagreements. But it goes back to what I just said in terms of communication. If we come in with a very fixed way of looking at things, but if we open that up and learn from the other, you know what, there might be a third way that develops in how to do this or how to solve that problem that is even better than the original two ways. So by open communication, new ways develop. And that's what life's about.
And I think looking at the goal, what do you want? What, you know, why are you doing this? What do you want the ultimate goal to be? When you look at the ultimate goal and then work backwards.
And you know, it just reminds me of this, you know, this lady or this joke, kind of, right? But this pan, every time you made a roast, she would cut both ends off of it and she would put it in this pan. And so the grandmother did that, then the mother did that, then the daughter did it. And they said, she's like, by the way, why do we do this? And she goes, oh, well, you're still doing that? We didn't have big enough pans. You know, I mean, you really, it's like you have to look at why are we doing what we're doing and you know, really taking charge of your own life and making sure that it's working for you. So
that's right. It's a lot of things we do automatically.
Yeah.
And habits are very good when it saves us time and energy and they're effective. But when they're no longer effective and they create, they no longer fit the context, then we have to step back and think, as you say, why we're doing it and try to improve or change things or come up with new solutions. We're great problem solvers when we free our minds. So sometimes we have to step back and do that.
And, you know, sometimes it worked for us at a certain stage or when we were younger, and it doesn't work for us anymore.
Exactly. Dr. Gerald Young, where do we find your book?
Okay, there's a website called rejoiningjoy.com, which will list all of my books. There is iUniverse that has published the last one, and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I believe, also should have my book.
Okay, I can't wait to get mine, and I hope that I have a couple to share with some of my listeners. So I want to give out our phone number right now, 805-419-0008. If you are interested in possibly getting one of Dr. Gerald Young's book, you can rejoin joy. And I think that that's so important. There's so much stress in our world right now, and I love, you know, a lot of your things that you've kind of mentioned. And the biggest one is really we need to really take notice of the people that we love in our lives. Sometimes we treat the people closest to us the worst. And, you know, and I think it's not right. So.
Right. So there's a moment to moment and a day to day and a month to month and year to year planning how we're going to make our lives better for ourselves and for our partners.
Right.
And let's grow that way and communicate with the other person about that.
I love it. I would love to have you back. I enjoyed talking to you, and thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
You got it. All right, Dr. Gerald Young, and his book is You Can Rejoin Joy. All right, our next guest, I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about food. You would think that that's all I'd love to talk about, but I love to talk about relationships. But our next one is the Mystic Chef and the Inner Mystic Chef. And her book is, Meadow Lynn is her name, and she has infused the Mystic Cookbook with spiritual essence and a collective knowledge from the vast travels. And
so this is about your relationships and food,
yeah,
but the relationship with yourself.
And with food and how sometimes food and the way you prepare it and the way you actually put it on the table makes you feel. And I love that. My grandmother, she always put a doily underneath it. It was a presentation.
Right.
So I love that. Anyways, we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us because we're going to be talking with Meadow Lynn.
Are you not feeling your best or want to improve your health? Tired of going to a traditional doctor? Roland Reif of Natural Health Care Center, located in Thousand Oaks, has a different approach. Instead of masking the pain with medications, eliminate the pain. Roland is on the American Board of Anti-Aging Health Practitioners and focuses on your overall goal with more than 20 years of experience in Eastern medicine, combining herbalology. Roland has been practicing acupuncture and Chinese since 1990. He incorporates his extensive knowledge of Western orthopedic. Let Roland help you learn how you can eliminate your condition and achieve optimal health and well-being. Call Roland, 805-497-4074. That's 805-497-4074.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally.
On News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back. And gosh, I want to have him back. That was, I love talking on the men's side because I know how we women think, right? But it's interesting to, you know, kind of get their perspective on life. So anyways, I'm really excited. Our next guest is Madeline, and her book is The Mystic Cookbook with a Spiritual Essence. And that's really about my show, is really taking control of your life, making your best. This is the only one we know about, right? Why are we not living up to our standards? And you know, you've been really teaching me a lot of really caring about who you are and really honoring your life and this time around.
And I think, you know what, so many people don't know who they are or what they want. They don't take time. We were listening to somebody last night who said, you know, even at the schools, why don't they teach, which is what I've been saying for years and years. And my daughter, who's 14, we were having a conversation about that, saying, why don't they teach life skills and self-love and things that help these children to go out and be well-adjusted? I mean, yes, you teach them at home.
But they're teaching, which I know we need to know academic, but if we don't feel good about ourselves, how are we going to ever feel like we can accomplish something? And so I think it's so important. Seeing my children when they start to blossom, it's like I call it like a flower that's not all there.
Absolutely.
And it just starts to brighten up. And
well, you know, part of that, just before we go on, and I'm so curious to hear what she has to say, is that it goes back to you're a human being, not a human doing, and we are rewarded for what we do.
Oh,
we're attached
wow.
to our self-worth, for the most part, is attached to what we do. And it's really not about that.
You know,
it's about
loving, right? It's about
unconditionally, because we are loved because we are who we are.
There you go. I love it. Okay. Let's say no more.
Yeah. What?
All right. Well, let's bring Madeline on. And she also writes for a food and lifestyle column for a newspaper in Seattle and is well-respected, a blog saver of the day. And she is the inventive chef for workshops. And so let's bring her on. Madeline, are you there?
I'm here. It's just a joy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm so excited to talk to you a little bit about what you do and who you are and tap into that magic that can transform our food and nourishment. And so tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started.
Well, you know, I've been eating my whole life, actually, which is where my passion began. But I think I cooked my first dish when I was 3 years old, and the passion continued to grow from there. And I was a teacher for many years. So I've come to a point now in my life where I've been able to blend my background in teaching with my passion for food and living deliciously and savoring every moment. And I was just so much enjoying hearing what you guys were saying about life and teaching those skills that I do think we're bereft of in so many ways in our society. But food is such a wonderful way to tap into that, grow our own self-worth and take care of ourselves and do self-care, because we have to eat every day. So why not use food? Because you have to do it anyway.
Right. And thank you. Thank you so much. So one of the things that you talk about is how the color of your food affects your consciousness. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in so many ways, color is important. And, you know, on a very physical level, you know, the USDA now has been talking about eating a rainbow diet. There are lots of micronutrients in our food that we need, and we need to eat the entire spectrum of the rainbow in order to get all of those nutrients. So that, of course, is very important. But then on a deeper, more spiritual level, that we're affected by the different vibrations of color. For instance, red is a very slow vibration, and ultraviolet, purple, so colors of that hue are much faster vibration. And believe it or not, we react differently to them. For instance, in psychiatric hospitals, they've done studies that when they paint the walls pink, the inmates actually relax and calm down. And green is a color that's known to aid in digestion. Or you might notice that chain restaurants and big box stores, they use a lot of red. Well, red is an appetite stimulant. So the more red, the more you want to eat, the more you want to buy. So red affects us in a lot of, you know, ways that they want our money. So it affects us that way. But color affects us so deeply. And one other thing I think is really fascinating about color is that as humans, we see in color, but it turns out that other animals, even other mammals, don't see in color. And a lot of the reason that we can see in color is because we need to for our survival because of our diet. Whereas a panda, for instance, they only see in black and white because they only eat bamboo. They don't need to distinguish.
Wow, that's
colors.
Interesting.
Yeah. For humans, throughout our history, we've needed to distinguish and decipher different colors in order to survive. We need to know what is edible and what's poisonous and what will be beneficial for our health. So I think it's so fascinating that our physical way that we perceive the world is directly related to the way that we need.
Well, that's it, Sharon. That's interesting because not even just from a food basis, but if you think from a mating perspective, animals are animals. So it's not mm-hmm. like the dog's going to go for a you know, a red dog versus a black dog.
This is
but
correct.
Think about, you know, what entices us and what is appealing to us, also from a color perspective.
There you go. So now how you and your mom wrote this book, and I think that right there is really cool. Tell us a little bit about how you came up with this book.
Well, it's been a journey coming to this point. We've worked together off and on for many years, but my mom has done a lot of healing work. She's been in the mind-body-spirit realms for about 40 years, and she's done a lot of different courses and worked with spirituality and done healing. And I have, my background is much more academic, but I did spend my summers cooking for her retreat. She runs a lot of retreats. So we decided a few years ago how amazing it would be if we could combine our passions and our interests and work together to share this knowledge that we've gained over our years of welcoming people to our ranch here in California.
And where is your ranch, by the way?
We are on the Central Coast, so we are about 4 hours up the coast from you in Paso Robles.
Okay, that's right, you said.
But so we saw that people really changing their lives, not just by the deep inner work that they were doing in the residential trainings at our ranch, but also by the way that we approached meals. We made meals really fun, and I put so much love and joy into cooking the meals because it's something I love to do. And then when we would eat, we'd set the tables to fit the theme. If it was Mexican, we'd play maybe mariachi music, and we'd decorate with piñatas, and all of our plates would look Mexican. Or if it was Japanese, we might have quiet Japanese flute music and maybe very demure black plates, and everything would be very simple and zen to kind of match the meal.
So, I love that.
Oh, so it's about
so
the experience.
It is. And yeah. So often we, you know, I do it too. I stand in front of the refrigerator. I eat in front of my computer, you know, because we lead this really busy life. But when we take that step back and slow down and eat more mindfully and make food a celebration, it's amazing. Not only does the food taste better, but it actually affects us on a much deeper level.
You know, I think also with weight, when you send the love to the food and it's nourishing you versus when you're actually sending that vibration of going,
I got five minutes.
Yeah. But also you have this love-hate relationship with the food that, you know, I would say a carrot is not the value of a carrot. It's whatever value you place on it.
Right. You know, there was a guy that I met and I got to get him on my show. You would love him. He makes coffee, and we were at this farm, and he was one of the vendors there, and I said, what's so different about your coffee? And he goes, oh, I make it with love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you know, but the way he had this long line, and he was, every cup was perfect, and it was amazing, and it's amazing. It's really like we are what we think. I mean, we are what we think.
Energy. It's all
yes,
energy.
Yes, and so you're sending these amazing, you know, vibes to your coffee or to your food or to your, I really do believe that. So for anybody that's just tuning in right now, I just want to remind you that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Sharon. And I do want to give out our phone number here at 805-419-0008 if you are interested in Metal Lynn's book, The Mystic Cookbook. I would love to give one away to one of my listeners. Again, 805-419-0008.
Tell us about the secret power of spice.
Ooh, there you go.
That's a wonderful one, and that actually is a wonderful segue to what you were talking about with the man with the coffee and filling it with love. Is that spice historically has always been a powerful substance. Back in the Middle Ages, spice was a way that the wealthy in Middle Ages Europe was able to show their wealth and their power and even their divinity. Most of the spices came from the Far East, and at that time it was believed that the Far East was where the Promised Land was. So it took many miles, many months to get the spices across, from the East to Europe. And by the time it got there, it was very expensive, but it was also very, people believe that it was infused with the energy of heaven, in a way, if you will. And so back from way back then, spices had this very powerful connection with going beyond just flavoring for food. But even now, we can think about certain spices. And for me, when I smell dill, to me, it smells like salmon. And obviously, there is no salmon in the dill. But to me, I have such a deep connection between dill and salmon because the part in our brain that's connected to memory is closely related to our sense of smell. For somebody else, cinnamon might remind them of their grandmother's apple pie.
Right, that is so true.
Mint might take you back to summers playing in a creek bed where there was wild mint. So we have these strong memories and associations with certain spices and herbs, and every time we use them, we're activating those beliefs and memories. And then when you're eating those, when you eat the foods with those spices and herbs, without even knowing it, you're activating those memories. So what you can do is you can actually consciously infuse memories and intention into spices too, which is really fun. So you can decide that every time that you use cumin, for instance, and that cumin is your happiness spice. You can just decide, this is going to be my happiness spice.
I like that.
I'm going to start doing that.
Intention and love into that cumin and create those memories. So every time that you're putting that cumin into your beans or your guacamole or whatever you put your cumin into, you're activating that sense of happiness. So, at first it might feel silly, but believe it or not, the more you do it, the more you actually get a patterned response. And your body will start to react to that.
Well, it's funny. I just remember when I was selling my house and the realtor said that, you want to have that smell of cookies.
Yes.
That home.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Whatever, homemade goods.
But, it's funny you said it's silly. We were at a thing last night and, it's kind of like telling yourself, you're doing a good job and you're kind of like stroking your arm. The first time it's like, really? Right? But then you start to do it and you go, wow, it really tells a message to your mind. And that's exactly the same thing that you're doing. So I love that. Metal, tell us about what are we going to find in your book?
Wow. Well, my first reaction is, what aren't you going to
find? Oh, I like that. Okay.
No, the book is actually, it's called a cookbook. It's called The Mystic Cookbook, and it has the subtitle of The Secret Alchemy of Food. But it's really, in a lot of ways, and it's almost embarrassing to say, but it's really more of a cookbook for your life. It does have a number of original recipes, which I have created and tested and even photographed for the book. But it has a lot of suggestions and activities and tips and ways that you can live more joyfully, more wholly. Holy with a W.
right. Whole, right. Whole, yes, I got it.
Live more balanced and
yes.
Feel, and savor those moments. And there, there's things from intention and affirmations in your food, as I was mentioning with the spices, to creating what we call legendary meals, those kinds of meals that people will remember for a lifetime, or even how to create a blind meal where you're activating all of your senses if you have a section on.
That sounds so, my girlfriend, for one of her birthday parties, we did a chocolate tasting.
Ooh.
And we lined up all these different chocolates, and you can only have a tiny, tiny piece. And now, of course, what do you think is my favorite? The chili chocolate. I go, it's all your fault, But, oh, my gosh, each one. And, when you put it in your mouth and you just chew it, not thinking about it, you don't get that flavor. You don't get that, you know, that
savor
scent.
It.
Yeah. And when you do that, you really are like really kicking into everything that your mind is thinking at the same time. So I love where you're going with this.
Oh, and it's amazing when you activate those other senses, because as you said, so often we do eat mindlessly. I took a course not that long ago with Janine Roth, who wrote Women, Food, and God, and she had us try Hershey's Kiss and really taste it and go slowly. And you know, the remarkable thing was, I thought it tasted terrible.
I was just going to say, is that, yes, I know. Well, we had a couple of those too, but we had sliced them so nobody knew which one, which was, you know, it. And, you know, we all think that, but...
You talk about the activating, but, you know, like I had a client who wanted to give up chocolate. But in actual fact, the chocolate was attached to the reward that her mother gave her when she was young.
Very interesting.
And so you cannot take something like that away unless you replace it. You keep the memory, but don't actually need the actual chocolate in order for you to have that memory.
Right. And why not replace it with some spices,
right,
and some, you know, things that are going to value your life.
Right.
So.
Right.
So can you leave us with some tips that we can have that can really give us our mystic and magical life?
Well, there are so many different things that you can do to have this mystic cooking experience. But one of the things that I was thinking about actually when I was first hearing the two of you talk before you brought me in was the idea that so many of us have all these dreams, these wishes, these things that we want to manifest in our life. And we spend sometimes hours, days cleaning our house, preparing for a dinner party, for instance, to serve to other people, to give to others. And one of the best ways to start by manifesting your dreams is to spend the same time and energy that you would creating a special meal for someone else, do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often we're not able to manifest our dreams because we don't necessarily feel that we're worthy of them, that it's something that we can have. And when you take that time, you know, it's something, as I said before, you have to eat. We all eat. So, you know, not everybody can afford a trip to the spa or a massage or a class for yoga even. But when you take that time to nurture yourself and do that self-care by eating a meal that's been filled with your love and your intention, and you arrange it artfully on the plate, and you sit down, maybe even light a candle, play some music, you know, rather than eating a quick bite at lunch, you know, in front of your computer, that it really starts to show yourself, hey, I'm worthy and I can have these dreams. And then you can move on from there and you start to radiate that out into the world. So that would be one of my tips for starting the mystical creations in your kitchen. And if you're not someone who cooks, you can even go to Whole Foods and get the deli stuff and just put it beautifully on the table and still sit down and enjoy it and treat yourself.
And savor the textures, you know, not only the flavor, but the texture of things.
Right. Meadow, I mean, you know, it's interesting is just, you know, I gave up paper plates. Okay, one, to be green, but also... to me, it's like I'm on the go all the time. And so I try to sit down and have that moment, even if it's a couple moments. But I love what you're talking about. I love that just really being mindful about your life and not, you know, when you get older and maybe you don't have the kids at home anymore and you're not cooking for your whole family. And so you're single or there's one person at home and you think, oh, it's not worth cooking. Because you find that as people get older and you're an amazing cook. Why are you not doing it for yourself?
Right.
And I think that's where it needs to start. So I love your book. I love where it's going. Give us one of your amazing recipes.
Oh, goodness. Someone asked me recently which was my favorite. I felt like that was asking a mother which was her favorite child. oh, goodness. So let's see. From the book, which would I suggest? There's so many that I love. let's see. We are winter now, so I would think something kind of warm and filling. There's a recipe in the book for a carrot and apple soup with coconut milk and fresh ginger. And it is so good. And even people who say that they don't really like carrot soup or even squash soup, I always enjoy that one. It's something so satisfying and like nurturing, makes you kind of pull inward for the winter. And it's a nice balance of sweet and spicy with the ginger. And
I love ginger. You know, and did you say coconut milk?
Coconut milk.
Yeah. Ooh. I might. Okay. So what? How do you make it?
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. In most of my recipes, I try to make them very simple with ingredients you can find pretty easily at your local grocery store, farmer's market, or natural food store. And that soup has, you saute some carrots with some onions and some apple. Mm. Add the fresh ginger, some curry powder, and coconut milk and some water. You let it boil or simmer
right.
until the vegetables are soft, and then you blend it up in the blender, and you enjoy it with a dollop of plain yogurt and some chopped cilantro. And it's
delicious. Oh, I'm sorry. That sounds amazing. And it's healthy.
It's very healthy. It's easy to make, and you can make it in a huge batch and eat it for a week if you want, or serve it to a lot of people, and it's inexpensive.
I like it.
I'll make it for my next dinner party.
I know. Well, I better be invited. God, that is great. Where do we find your book?
The book is available from Hay House, the publisher, and Amazon, and any other retailer. Hopefully also your local bookstore will have it as well.
I hope so. I know. We got to help our local bookstores around here, I'm telling you. So, Meadow Lynn, the Mystic Cookbook, thank you so much. I'd love to, you know, follow your journey and learn more about what you're doing and your retreats and all that good stuff. What are the name of your retreats?
My mom leads one called Soul Coaching. It's a certification training that she does right now. But we have some Mystic Chef trainings in the works. Nothing on the calendar yet.
Okay.
It's in the future.
Okay. Well, keep in touch with me because we've got a lot of things in the future, too, that we're doing. And I would love to include you in them. So definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much again, Meadow Lynn, her book, The Mystic Cookbook. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
Thank you. All right. So, gosh, Sharon, we got some really great tips.
Really great tips. And you know what I want to say, Kim, is that what I said in the beginning, there's so many things out there. You know, even with exercise, going to the gym may not be your thing, but there's yoga, there's hiking. Find your thing.
Whatever it is.
So, you know, even the different, you know, you can be into crystals or you can be into feng shui. Find the thing that you love. Find your passion. And when you start to figure out what it is that you like, you'll be able to move down the road and be able to bring more of those things into your life.
So, Sharon, if somebody doesn't know who they are or what they like, how should they start?
You start off by just looking around and going, oh, that really, it's like when we do the vision board.
Yes.
You know, when you have absolutely no idea. And you start to look through magazines and start to see what things appeal to you.
Right.
You know, or even go into Barnes & Noble. Go and sit there and just page through the magazines and see what makes you happy and excited.
Right. In your thoughts.
In your thoughts. Yeah. And really, you know, I really encourage my clients to carry a little notebook around with them. They do their gratitude in there, but they also start to write down the things that come into their mind wherever, you know, what is a goal that they'd like to do or that they'd like to have. If someone turns around and says, you know, I just started pottery, and you go, oh, that might be interesting. Pursue it a little bit and see whether you like it or not.
I know why you said pottery, too, last night. That lady said that her husband, out of all, right?
Well, and because I have a girlfriend who has a wheel, and I love to do, I don't actually do pottery, but I'm an artist.
She's an amazing artist, too, yeah.
And I also have done a little bit of work with clay. I love to use my hands. You know, I don't love to use a paintbrush. I love to use my hands. So even when I was baking cakes, I would go to the manicurist, and she'd say to me, what have you been up to now? Your pans are full of paint and color and everything else. You know, that was my thing. I love to touch it. I love to be tactile.
Right.
So we said we're going to do some pottery together. But fine, you know, just you don't have to know. Don't pressurize yourself to know. Start to become aware of things. And if you start something and it doesn't appeal to you, give it up. You don't have to prove.
I call it try it on. Keep trying it on. Besides, like you try on your clothes. You try them on. Does it look good? Nope, that doesn't.
You know, Kim, I'm a life coach. I am a hypnotherapist. I'm a Reiki master. I have certifications in NLP and guided imagery and reflexology and crystals and a whole lot of things.
So you've tried a lot of things on.
But I use them all with my clients. So through the years, people might have said, oh, she's doing another thing, or she's doing, you know, oh, she's trying something else. I use all of these things that I have learned through the years, and we're talking 15 years.
Right.
I use all of them with my clients, whatever I need to use. So none of them were a waste.
Right. And that's how it is with my hair therapy. It's talking about each thing that can help you through your life.
100%.
And so really, I really want to share what I've been doing is taking my life and taking control of it in every area. And it's not about being overwhelmed. It's about just taking this mountain and chipping away at it. So, Sharon, give out your phone number again if anybody is interested in calling you.
818-744-5859. I have an office in Calabasas, but I do work on Skype and telephone work.
There you go. Also, I do want to introduce one of my advertisers and one of my sponsors, and Roland Reef. You hear his commercials here, and he'll be on actually next Saturday. He is an amazing guy. He really is. He's all about natural health care. His center is in Thousand Oaks at 223 Thousand Oaks Boulevard, Suite 324. His phone number is 805-497-4074. If you want to take an alternative way to make yourself feel better, or just acupuncture, or just anything that you want to, he's all about really strengthening your core, strengthening your life. So anyways, definitely give him a call. I want to thank all of you for being a part of my show. I love all my friends that I've made on Facebook at Kim Pagano Show. And if you missed any part of our show today, listen again. You can listen at all of my podcasts are downloaded on kimpaganoshow.com. I thank you so much for being a part of my show. I look forward to talking to you next Saturday from 2 to 4. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is, every moment you waste looking back keeps you from moving forward. With that, I'm Kim. Have a really great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.